I just want to speak even into your spirit right now. I don't want to speak to where you're at as much as I want to speak to where you're going, which is the essence of the prophetic. It's not just you know where you're at, but we need to have a picture of where God's leading us. Amen. And so, Father, we pray by the Holy Ghost that you will speak all that's on your heart. Lord, there's many people in this room and everyone needs to hear two things. Number one, they need to hear what they need to hear individually. But number two, we need to hear what you're saying corporately. I just want to speak right now. The Bible says multiple times, Jesus said it. He said it in Revelation 2 and 3, multiple times, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. It's not so much what is the Spirit saying to the individual, but to the churches. And there is a shift coming where we understand part of our significance is not just in our independence, but it's in our being connected to something that is much greater than ourselves. And even on this one-year celebration for Ascend Church, your significance is not that you're Ascend Church, but you're part of the church globally. There is only one church. It's whoever believes in Jesus Christ, confesses Him as Lord. They are your brother, they are your sister, they're a son, they're a daughter of the Father in heaven. While we see denominations, God sees sons and daughters. And God, we thank you that we are part of the church. And while Ascend has been a recent baby born, Lord, we thank you, oh God, that is part of a family much bigger. Every part fitly joined together, supplying everything the body needs. Lord, let us have a vision beyond ourselves. Lord, we live in a culture. It's all about me. I can be who I want to be. I can do what I want to do. Me, me, me. Lord, we cut it off, Lord, when it comes to our lives and the body of Christ. It's actually the body of Christ. It's not the body of Steve. It's not the body of Sally. It's not the body of Jason. It's not the body of Liz. It's the body of Christ. You and I are part of something beyond ourselves. God was not given to bless our lives, but to be our life. It's not about an addition. It's actually about being born again. The old has passed away, the new has come. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I've been born again by His incorruptible seed. It's not a small addition to an otherwise good life. It's dead to alive. It's death to life. It's darkness to light. It's slavery to freedom. This is what it means to be part of the family of God. We are part of the one church, one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one Spirit. There is one. And Jesus said, may they be one even as we are one. And I cry out by the Spirit of God that in this room today, but in the world today, right here on this day, oh God, 30th of November 2025, that Lord, there will be a sweeping of your Spirit where your Spirit is speaking the same thing. And you come to lift up Jesus, and Jesus comes to lift up the Father. And we keep it about God. It is not about us, it's about God. It's not about me, it's about God. And it's about Christ in me, the hope of glory. Lord, we will not bring you down to our level of understanding. We most definitely will not bring you down to our level of comfort. Some of us, your goal is a comfortable way of living. Get rid of it. Get rid of that mindset. Get rid of that mindset. Heaven suffers violence, the violent take it by force. Come on, there is something about deny yourself. Take up your cross. Come follow me. Come follow me. It's about an advancement of kingdom assignments. It's about kingdom purpose. And I heard the Lord say to me yesterday, I see us pulling down the accelerator, and God says it's not steady as she goes. It's not steady as she goes. It's actually advancing God's kingdom purpose on earth as it is in heaven. That's your measure. That's my measure. That's your measure. That's my measure. That's the measure of the body of Christ. I don't measure against a brother. I don't measure against a sister. I don't measure against that denomination. I don't measure against that church. I measure to Jesus Christ, and all of us have further to go. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. So we do it together. We do it together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. You're wonderful. You're amazing. You're glorious. You're amazing. You're wonderful. You're glorious. So speak to the individual. But Lord, don't speak to us just for us. Speak to us for the body. And Lord, speak to the body for the church. Jesus says, I do not pray for the world, but I pray for you. This is in John 17. A few verses later, he says, I do not pray for you only, but I pray for all those who will believe in me through your message. So Jesus prays for the church. Do you know that? He's sitting at the right hand of the Father interceding for you and I. But he's not interceding for us to have a comfortable, nice, blessed life. He's interceding for us so that we can, like him, go into all the world and preach disciples, making disciples of all nations. He's actually wanting to do something in us so he can do something through us. The moment we actually believe it's just to us, we become a swamp and a marsh. The Bible says in Ezekiel 47 that the river flows from the temple and it flows out. Wherever it goes, it brings life. But where it doesn't flow out, the only difference between a river and a marsh is that one flows in and flows out, one flows in and stops. And for the body of Christ, if it doesn't flow in and flow out, we're in trouble. And so God is doing something wonderful. Whoo! That's me getting ready to let myself loose. Thanks, Jason Lives, for having us on the journey and your precious family. I want to get right into it. I want to speak into your name for a second. I want to speak into your future. Are you a good church? Before I do, was it Karen? No, Karen? Karen? I just said hello before, but the Lord highlighted you to me in worship and I was about to go and he reminded me. It's really nice when he reminds me because my head is like a sieve. But Karen, I just heard this phrase, two phrases, really, really clearly. I heard the Lord say there's a significant call on your life. But then I saw you like a fish on the end of a hook that at times there's this pulling against that at times it's like I'm not sure I want to go there. But I feel like the Lord is saying I'm reeling you in, not as in confinement, but into his kingdom purpose. That when you submit to even that wooing, that drawing of the Lord, I can tell you right now, there is nothing that God can't do both in you and through you. And so may I just speak it over you and pray for you. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for this man that you have his attention and he has yours. Karen, you have God's attention. You have God's attention. But God does not want to be a dictator to you where he just says, do this, do this, do this. He wants to share his heart with you. He wants to enter in communion with you and dialogue with you and conversation with you. There's a shift that's coming even right now. I just lay my hands upon you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, upon your mind, a perspective shift right now. God wants communion and dialogue with you, wants conversations with you. I see him pointing to things, even on the earth, and getting your attention on things and starting to share his heart. And then you go, okay, God, what do you want me to do about that? And I see you partnering with God's perspective. You might say, well, that hasn't really been my thing. That's been more their thing. I right now come and lay a mantle on you. It's your thing. 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 And I'm saving you a bit of time. Stop resting against the line on the hook. You ain't going to get off it. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Bless you, brother. Some of us need to save ourselves a bit of time. Just give in. All right. Hallelujah. Are we good? Whew. This is my lovely wife, Sally. And I love this lady. She talk about iron sharpens iron. There's no one that points me more to God than my wife. There's no one who shows me what Jesus is like. There's no one who prays more powerful prayers than this lady, and I just want to honor you, and I love doing this life with you. I might have the microphone, but we are one. This is us together, and we both ministered for hours together last night, and I just want to say, I just wanted to honor you. I mean, Karen distracted me. Now you're distracting me. Now, anyone else, or you're all good? Can I get into the word? Okay, I'll go. Okay. I want to speak into your name just for a moment in your future. Are you good?
Yeah.
Exodus 34, verse 2. Exodus 34. Be ready in the morning and then come up on Mount Sinai. I'm going to actually read this one, not my notes, because this is even better. Present yourself to me there on top of the mountain. Be ready early in the morning and then come up. That sounds like a send to me. Come on. Let's lean into your name and then come up. That's ascend. That's the very, very definition of the word ascend. And then come up on Mount Sinai, present yourself to me on top. That means you've ascended. There's the come up, I need to ascend. There's the on top, I have ascended. I have ascended on top of the mountain. And I just want to declare over your life, everyone look at me and be in the spirit right now. This is for your name. This is for you individually. God is calling you and I to be people who are ready in the morning to come up and meet with the Lord. That we actually every day, some of us have reduced our time with God to a 25-minute quiet time, and then the rest of the day is our day and we largely forget God. God is shifting us to be a people that are communing with the Lord 24/7. He is just as present in your work as He is in your quiet time. He's just as present in your challenge as He is in your victory. And I want to say the word ascend, be ready in the morning, then come up on Mount Sinai. Come up and then on top of the mountain. And then in verse 29, Exodus 34, 29, when Moses came down, because he had gone up. Do you know that when you ascend the hill of the Lord in your own time with the Lord, how many people know that there comes a time then you need to open that door and you need to have a shower and get dressed and have your brekkie and go out into the real world? Sometimes we need to come down. How many people sometimes don't want to come down? Come on. I'd be quite happy sometimes not come down, but we ascend in order to descend. We don't just live there, me and God, we're good, me and God, we're good. That's not revival. If it's just me and God, we're good, and I don't need to do anything else, can I just tell you that's not a move of God? It's called self-indulgence. And God wants to fill us to flow through us. He wants us to ascend so that we descend. And He says this, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. And I want to say that there is evidence if you've been up the mountain. There should be something different about your countenance. Some of us need to allow what's on the inside come out here a little bit. Everyone smile with me. Look at me, smile. I just want to prove that you can do it. Come on, smile. Teeth, people, teeth. Help me, Jesus. There is evidence of ascending that should be seen on our countenance. And I feel the Lord is... There's evidence that we've been with the Lord, that we've spoken with the Lord, isn't right lives. There's evidence. But I also want to remind us, when we come down to go out, we take the encounter, we wear the fact that we've been with the Lord. But I say to you, as you go into your day by day, and I'm saying this to your name as a church and to every person here, make sure you go out with the tablets of the covenant in your hands. Make sure you go out with the Word of God in your hands and in your heart. Let's meet with the Lord. Let's know the Word of God. Let's ascend. And then let's come down to go out in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. I see you as a real holy company of people. That's what the Lord said to me. I see you as a holy company of people. Now I want to speak about your future. Everyone say my future. Everyone say more correctly, our future. Our future. Say it again. One more time. Say it in an American accent like this. Our future. Our. Praise God. Here's what I want to speak into. Project 2032. Project 2032. We want sometimes, most often, we want God to speak something for me here and now. But I think that God needs us to lift up our vision to a future. And God wants to take us to a place where we look ahead in 7 years and we stand at the end of 2032 and we are celebrating what God has done. We are celebrating today on our first anniversary. I want to declare by the Spirit of God that God wants to be standing with you at the end of 2032 and celebrating all that God has done. That means we got to lift up our vision. Celebrate today, but it's not about tomorrow and it's not about next month. And dare I say, it's not just about next year. This is about God wants to give you a 7-year picture so that we can walk towards that. And the Lord said to me, I just felt drawn to look at the word project, and project means an individual or a collaborative enterprise that is carefully planned to achieve a particular aim. This is about a careful plan so that we're going to achieve something. The Bible says without vision we dwell carelessly, and we need a vision. But the Lord also said it to me, it's not just project 2032, it's actually project 2032. Project means to extend outwards beyond something else. If we're going to achieve project 2032, we need to project beyond the here and now. And can I just say this little thing as a theological thing so we understand? Where we stand here today and look ahead towards 2032 as a future possibility. Everyone look at me, I need you to get what I'm about to say. This is God speaking. I might be the vessel, but this is the word of the Lord to every one of us here today. We look ahead and we go a future possibility in 7 years' time. But we sang omniscient. We sang omnipotent. We sang omnipresent. We sang he's an ever-present God. He is literally the eternal God. Psalm 90 verse 2 says, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. God does not live in the constraints of time because God created time. Are you with me? He created day one. He created day two. He created day three. And then because he's God, on day four, he created the sun and the moon, which determines first day. Did you hear what I just said? He created on the fourth day what he needed to have one day. This is our God. He lives outside of time. So in 2032, God is there right now. Do you believe that theologically? Do you believe that? I need to hear you. Do you? Because this changes how we walk towards it. Because otherwise we walk towards a future possibility and maybe. But when God is standing there and calling us towards, this is the whole essence of a prophetic word. When it's of a future thing, we think it's a possibility. God's going, no, no, no. I'm there now. I'm telling you what it looks like. So walk towards what I'm declaring as a present reality. Everything in God is present. The Bible says that he was slain before the foundations of the world. You mean not literally? Yes, literally. Before the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ was crucified because he's eternal. He's outside of time. I know this like just blows our mind and go, that's not possible. Welcome to your God. Come on. He created everything from nothing. That's not telling me he can't live outside of time. Come on, everlasting to everlasting means everlasting to everlasting. Eternal means eternal. I preach myself happy and exhausted. You're welcome. All right, so let me tell you where we're heading. John chapter 10, verse 10. And I just, Lord, help me to bring this through. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Can I just say we need to be aware we have an enemy, but let's not be fixated on the enemy. Do not be ignorant of the enemy's schemes, but don't focus on him. Come on, he's already defeated. It's not just he's no match for Jesus, he's no match for you. Look at me and listen. He's no match for you. He's no match for you. Submit to God. Resist the devil. He's got to flee from you. Jesus said, I've given you authority over all the enemy's powers. You're a mighty warrior, woman of God, in the dress there. Are you dressed? Yes. You're a mighty warrior. You're a mighty warrior. You're a mighty warrior. You're a mighty warrior in the spirit. God hears your prayers. Keep praying. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. So he's out there. But I, Jesus, have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Here's Project 2032. I'm not going to tell you how many buildings and churches and locations and grandchildren you're going to have and how many times you're going to go to Africa. That's not what I'm here for today. We're talking 2032 where God wants to celebrate. It is that we are living in life and the fullness of the life that is in him. Not a happy life, not a comfortable life, but the fullness of the life. That's what God wants to celebrate with you. Man, I'm not just saved. I'm actually full of the life of God. Those things that used to bind me, they have fallen off. Those ways of thinking have been renewed by the renewing of my mind, transformed. I am a new creation, not just in word, but in spirit. I used to be this, but now I am this. That we have seen so many people saved, baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost and healed, that people are full of the joy of the Lord. That we are signposts that are like neon. That's where we're going. So how are we going to get there? Six things, and they all start with P, not because I'm really good, but because God is really clever. All right? Number one. I'm glad you're enjoying yourself in church today. Is this all right, Jason? I missed my mouth, which is quite a feat considering the size of it. All right. Good morning. If we're going to get to Project 32, Lord Jesus, help me and help them. If we're going to get to Project 2032, which is I have come that you might have life and we are living it to the full. Anyone want that? Come on. Or do you want to be in 7 years where you presently are and your walk with God and your prayer and your word and your boldness to share your faith? Do you want to be there or do you want to be fullness? Come on. This is his word. There's six things. And don't switch off if you say, I know that. Because I realize as a believer, there's a big difference between what I know and what I do. Many people want a big wow word. Actually, we just need to come back to what God's already said most of the time. Here's number one, pray. Bet you never saw that coming. If we're going to fulfill Project 2032, pray. Seriously, some of us don't pray at all. Ask God, show me what prayer looks like. Teach me to pray. What does it mean to commune with you? Some of us, we pray in our quiet time and that's it. God says, I want you to increase that, to pray without ceasing throughout your day. Some of you, you know, you pray for 5 minutes and think you're utterly exhausted by the end of that. And God wants you to increase that where you can pray for an hour and be strengthened in the Holy Ghost. Wherever you are, God wants to increase it. Can I hear an amen? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 15, we read this. This then is how you should pray. Can I just say you should pray? Is that all right? This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth. How? How? Say it with me. As it is in heaven. Not on earth as they do it, as they do it, as they do it. No, on earth as it is in heaven. There's our measure. Our measure has got to shift people. On earth as it is in heaven, give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. We know this. This is known as the Lord's Prayer. Most people stop at the end of verse 13. But I just want to say a few things and we're going to move on. We're just going to power through these six things here. This is the first thing I want to say. Our Father in heaven. When you pray, pray like this. Our Father in heaven. We've got to learn to pray to our Father in heaven more than we pray about our problems on earth. Most of us pray about our problems on earth. We call it prayer, but it's not always prayer. We pray to our Father in heaven. Let's get the right focus. Are you with me? Our measure is not, God, give me what I want. No. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done. We need to be praying God's kingdom, which is his authority, his rule, on earth as it is in heaven. And we need to pray, God, your will. The word will means determination. It's not trying hard. It's I determine that's what it is. I determine that that male is that male. I determine that salvation is salvation. I determine that lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Are you with me? I determine what something is. So God, let that be on earth as it is in heaven. We don't need to come up with something new. We just need to come back to what God has said something is. Give us today our daily bread. I just want to say you don't need tomorrow what you need today. You need to hear what I'm saying. Church, you need to hear what I'm saying here. Sometimes if we've got a God is speaking about a future thing and we go, oh my gosh, that's going to take X amount of money or X amount of people. And then and this is something that God wants to do. We go, we can't do it because we don't have it. Read what Jesus said to pray. He did not say, give us today what we need in 3 months for the payment. This is deeper than some of you realize. Some of us are stressing and not moving forward because we don't have what we need then. He said, no, give us today our daily bread. If you need to pay something on Friday and it's Tuesday, you don't need it on Tuesday. That's called the miracle margin. So don't manage yourself, steward yourself, budget yourself out of miracles. Hallelujah. And then I want to say this on prayer, and then we're going to move on to the next thing. When it comes to pray, one of the ways that we're going to end up at Project 2032 in that life to the full, my brother, is that we forgive quickly and fully. This is potentially one of the biggest ties that holds the church from moving forward. And we all come up with reasons why. I understand the principle, but I can't. I understand they need to, but I can't. That's called a lie from the enemy. This is Jesus who is washing Judas's feet, not thinking that he might betray him, but knowing he will, and said, this is how I want you to love one another. He's about to betray me to death, but I'm going to serve him and love him. Forgiveness does not release the other person from what they've done. It releases you. That's it, full stop. And the reason why I put this on here, because the Lord showed me this recently, we stop at and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And that's true. God, don't let me fall into temptation when it comes to all these different sins. But I feel the Lord say, get the context, because then he keeps on just talking, for if you forgive other people when they sin, I'll forgive you. If you don't, you won't. So in the verse 12 is forgiving, and verse 14 and 15 is forgiving, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I heard the Lord say recently, Steve, the biggest temptation I'm talking about is not that you don't do this and this and this, and but that you don't fall into the temptation not to forgive. Because those four verses are all on forgiveness. Deliver us from the evil one that says, you don't need to forgive. God will understand if you don't forgive. No. God, I'm not going to listen to the enemy on this. I'm going to forgive, I'm going to release, and I'm going to be free. You cannot hold on to unforgiveness and live life to the full. It's just an impossible equation. God says, release that in Jesus' name. And I want to encourage you, let's be a praying people. Jesus said, my house will be a house of prayer. You can be known for many things, but unless you're known for prayer, then we're missing the mark. And I just want to call us all. I was in the prayer room this morning. I heard the Lord say to me very clearly, Steve, never miss an opportunity to pray next year. If there's any pre-meeting, be there. This is what he said to me. So can I throw this out there here? Because it was said to me here in Ascend Church on a first birthday. What would happen if there's a prayer meeting? I'm there. Oh, but I've got things on. Great, cancel them. But I can't. Well, you can't or won't. My house will be a house. This is not legalism, but I tell you what, things change on earth as in heaven. Can I just say this? This is going to upset some of you, but that's all. I don't mind doing that. Things don't change on earth as it is in heaven through our worship, through the preaching of the word, through our serving, through our giving, through even our sharing our faith. It happens through prayer. That's the context. That's the context. If my people call by my name, come on, pray. Pray, pray, pray. My house will be called a house of prayer. Pray, pray, pray. But, oh, God, I'll serve you here. No, pray. Or, I'll go here, but pray. Oh, no, God, I'll give. I'm a giver. Pray. Yes. The greatest mark of 2032 for a century is whether or not you're known as a house of prayer. Number two, proclaim. Proclaim. Are you good? John 12, 32 and 33. This is Jesus speaking, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. And he said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. I just want to honor the context. The context is Jesus said, when I'm lifted up on the cross, I'll draw people to myself. That's the context. But the prophetic declaration for today, please hear the word of the Lord. Jesus says, because now he's gone to the Father. Is that right?
Yes.
He's not on earth. He's with the Father. That said, he is on earth because he's omnipresent, but just anyway. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he says, I'm going there, but the same glory that you gave me, I'm giving them for the same purpose. You sent me to seek and save the lost. I'm sending them as ministers of reconciliation. And he says this in this statement. Please get this. When I, Jesus, is lifted up from the earth, he's not on the earth. You are. You are. You are. Look at me. You are. You're still on the earth. So when I, Jesus, am lifted up from the earth, I will draw people to myself. I'm not sure you got what I just said. Jesus draws people when people lift Jesus up. But what we try to do is we try to draw people to God. And God goes, no, I said I'll draw people. You lift me up. You talk about me. You testify about me. You tell them where that sense of joy comes from, where that peace comes from. When people are getting made redundant and you still got a peace and people ask you a question, be ready to give an answer for the hope that's in you. And you talk about not just that you're amazing, but that God is good. I would be fretting unless I had the Prince of Peace living on the inside of me. And God says, then I'll draw people to myself. But we got to proclaim. The next verse there is Romans 1:16. Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentiles. Proclaim. I release over you. Pray and then proclaim. There is no such thing as an undercover or a secret agent Christian. So stop trying to be one. If your work doesn't know you're a Christian, it's not because you're not Bible bashing, it's because you're not letting your light shine. Well, I just let my life preach the gospel and they'll finally catch on. Sounds beautiful, it's just so anti-scriptural, because Jesus was a real failure then, because he spoke all the time. He had a perfect life, but he proclaimed, he preached. He pointed to the Father. He talked about what it means to be born again. He constantly did. Paul lived a life that was worth following. We read that multiple times. But he also declared Jesus and he preached Jesus Christ. And Peter, oh yes, he had a life that you could follow. But he stood up and he started to preach Jesus. And then 3,000 people got saved. Your life is not just your message. If it doesn't come out of your lips, then they just think you're a good person. They don't actually get pointed to Jesus Christ. We got to get rid of that. Preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. It's garbage. Preach the gospel and live the gospel. I don't know who I just upset, but it's incredible how good I feel. Okay, the third thing is prophesy. Prophesy. We're not going to get up to 2032 if we don't pray, if we don't proclaim, but if we don't prophesy. And now I'm about to obliterate most of our view of prophecy. It is not, as I said, I'm sending you to Africa and you're going to have 23 grandchildren by the age of 30. It ain't, that's not prophecy. That's crazy. Let me tell you the essence of prophecy, and I'm about to show you it from the scripture as we move through here. Prophesying is partnering with what Father is building in people's lives. Did I say prophesying is partnering? Everyone say partnering. Partnering. With what Father, say Father. Father. Is building, say building. Building in people's lives. Prophesying is partnering. It's not authoring. If the word comes from you, not from God, it's not prophecy. Okay? It's partnering. There's nothing in my life that should originate from me. He's the author. He's the perfecter. He's the first. He's the last. He's the initiator. He's the sustainer. He'll bring it to completion. My role is to keep in step with him. It is partnering with what Father is building. Everyone say building. Building. Say it again. Building. One more time. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4, anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. In the Greek, the word edifies means build. It says this, please get me, if you prophesy, you build the church. Now put up Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, and it says, and I tell you, this is Jesus speaking, that you are Peter. And on this rock, the rock is not Peter and it's not Jesus. I hate to burst your bubble. In this context, it's the revelation of who Jesus is. Because that's the context. Who do you say I am? You're the Messiah. You're the Christ. This was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. You see me as I am and you're Peter. And on this rock of seeing me accurately, I will build my church. It's not just on Jesus. Everyone's got a different view of Jesus. That's the start of that passage. But when you see me as I am, I'll build my church. So look, watch this. Jesus says, I'll build my church. If you prophesy, you build the church. Well, which one is it, Lord? It's simple. I am building, says the Father. I am building into your life. I am building in what you need. I am placing in you, and I am pulling out of you what you need to get you to where I created you to go. Not where you want to go, but where I created you to go. And on that journey, Father goes, I know what they see of themselves. I know what they feel, but I know where I'm taking them. They're stuck where they are, or they're struggling where they are. So I want to speak something into them that builds something into their life to get them to. So he looks around. Sally, you're a woman who walks with me. You love people. You're hearing from me. This person over here, they're feeling very timid and feeling very insecure. I want you to speak into their life and say, you know what? You are stronger than you think. You are strong in the Lord and his mighty power. You can do all things through Christ. So would you go and speak that into her life? That's prophecy. Father's building, he just looks for some people. Jay, can you go and tell that person that I see them and I care for them? We made it big and wow. Why? Because we look good. Call it as it is. Is there a place for that? Absolutely. Is that the primary purpose? No. It's to see what Father's building and say, Father, is there anything you want me to do to partner with what you're doing? You go into a meeting, you're going to catch up with someone. I do this all the time. Having a Zoom with people, I do this all the time. And when I go in there, I'm always, Father, is there anything that you want me to partner with you in speaking into them that you're doing in their life? That's prophecy. That's prophecy. Does it make sense? It's partnering with what Father is building. The next one is plan. Proverbs 16:9. A man's heart plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. And Galatians 5:25 says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Jason lives, God says, from me, make plans, make plans, make plans. Every person in this room, the Lord says, make plans, make plans. Don't do it. Don't you make plans by yourself. Spend time with me and let me speak things into your heart. So, because he says, do you not know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. But most of us want our own plans because we live in a self-indulgent culture that's all about me. Actually, it's about God, and I get to be a part of his narrative, part of his story, part of what he's doing. And when you say, oh God, what is it? What's your plan for my life? Young people, the greatest prayer you can ever pray is, Father, help me to know you and help me to know your plans for my life. People are now trying to not only change their plans, but change their identity and place and change their gender. We're trying to change what God created with a divine purpose attached to it. And God is calling us back there because that's where freedom is. That's where life is. That's where safety is. That's where protection is. That's where life and life to the full is when we live according to God's plans. But he says, with me, make plans, but let me direct your steps. What does that mean? It means along the way, when we have a plan from God and we're walking here, Jason lives and we're walking here, and as we're walking here, the Holy Spirit seems to go like this a little bit. That doesn't mean you're off track. It means you're listening. If God changes his instructions, don't go, what's wrong with me? I mustn't have heard. Go, thank you, God, I'm listening. I'll do what you say. The greatest example of someone that followed God's leading is Abraham, who God very clearly said to him, take your son and sacrifice your son. And the next morning he got up. That is the greatest act of obedience I probably read in the Bible, taking the promise that was given by God to lay it down, which almost like violated the nature of God. But he knew he had heard God. So he starts to go, and he goes all the way up there, prepares the altar, bounds the son, puts him on the altar, lifts up the knife, and the same God that says, sacrifice your son, says, now, don't sacrifice your son. I see that you actually hear me and fear me, and here's a ram in the thicket. So what would happen if he had said, I know the plan, I know the plan, I know what God said, and then when he heard a different instruction from the God he heard the first time, he said, that can't be God because God's already said this. He would have sacrificed his son if he had lived only on what he heard and not what he was hearing. Are you living on what you've heard or what you're hearing? As a church, are you living on what you heard or what we're hearing? If God changes his instructions, it's not because he's confused. He just wants to not prove to him, but prove to you that you're still listening and submissive and on step. Right. Pursue is the next one. We're almost done. King's Park is almost calling. Pursue. Just two statements on this. Passivity will not result in God's kingdom coming and God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven. Passivity. Well, God, if you want to do it. The language of the kingdom involves running, persevering, finishing, contending, laying hold of, taking back. It's active language. Some of us need to shift our position from sitting to pursuing. And here's the last thing I want to lean into for a moment, and then we'll finish, is participate. Participate. The Lord spoke this statement to me so clearly for you, and it's this: our verbal agreement must step into active participation. I'll let you read that for a moment. Come on, read it. Our verbal agreement. That sounds good, Pastor. Yes, that sounds good. Yes, we should pray more. Yes, we should share our faith. Yes, I agree. It must shift from verbal agreement to active participation. Active participation. Today, I've heard your response. The Lord has heard your response. We're talking about praying, proclaiming, prophesying, planning, pursuing. That's fantastic to say yes, yes, yes. Now it's time to let it shift into active participation. Project 2032. Ascend Church. Every one of you individually, together, come towards. I'll come to give you life and life to the full, fullness of life, in whatever dimension that looks like. I just hear the Holy Ghost talking to me really strongly right now. I feel some people in this room, good people, wonderful people, are almost, yeah, but what is it going to look like? What are we going to do? We still have this propensity to, what are the metrics? And God goes, get rid of all that. Here's the metrics: life and life to the full. But where will we be and how will it? No, life and life to the full. Let God work that out as we're walking along. Maybe that's part of the plan that He wants to give you as you keep in step with Him. Maybe He'll reveal that as you pray. Maybe He'll reveal that as God prophesies something that He's building, that He gets you to come and build with Him. I think that the clarities of the details will come along the path, but we've made it too much about details and then we actually try in our own strength to achieve it. This is not about me doing something and saying, God, come and bless it. This is about God initiating something. I'm going to do that. When God initiates, I don't have to ask Him to bless it. If you're constantly saying, God, I'm doing this, please, 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 please bless it. My question to you is, did God initiate it or you? Because if He initiated it, stop asking Him to bless it. Thank Him that it is blessed. But if you have to convince yourself, well, I'm not sure, then maybe we go back to the prayer closet and say, Father, is this you or me? Because not my will, but yours be done. We must not wait for God to do what He is calling us to do. Are you with me, church? Well, God, if you want to save them, you say, no, you pray for them. You proclaim the gospel of the good news. God, if you want to heal them, you heal them. No. This is what the Lord said to me. Let me read these statements and we're almost done. We must not wait for God to do what He is calling us to do. We must not wait for someone else to do what God is calling us to do. And here it is. If God places it on your heart, then it is God's thing for you to do something about. Look at me. If God places something on your heart, someone on your heart, don't stop at that point and say, well, I hope someone does something about it. The only reason God places it on your heart is for you to do something about it. Now I need you to equally hear me. Don't default if you're a doer, a type personality. Oh, well, I'm going to make it happen because God might want you to pray. Come on. Yeah. Sometimes we're doing something as in natural when the doing He wants is prayer. Yes. But let me talk to some others of us Sometimes I'll pray about that and God goes, that's great, but I want you to do something natural, practical about it too. I want you to give them a meal. I want you to visit them in prison. I want you to pray for them. I want you to lay hands. No, I'll pray for them back here. Lay your hands upon them, but I don't feel comfortable. Picture yourself with the microphone. If you're thinking comfortable and slap yourself on the head, we've got to get past this comfortable Christianity. Deny yourself. What does that mean? Say no to yourself. Well, I don't really want to do that. I don't want to do that. Say no to yourself. No, stop shrinking back. I will do what God says. Because God has not given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And I can do all things through Christ to give me the strength, because I am strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. The Lord has spoken to me, and I'm still growing in this. He says, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. So if I'm not strong, it's probably because I'm not in the Lord. Be strong. You're in the Lord. No, I'm just in my mind. No, I'm just in my feelings. No, I'm just in my circumstances. No, I'm just in my pain. Well, maybe I'm like Paul, I'm just in prison. But his greatest reality was he was in Christ, not in prison. You might be in prison, but if you're in Christ is greater than in prison. But sometimes we elevate in prison above in Christ. Am I making sense? So God says, if I place it on your hearts, because I want you to do something about it. But don't default to what you would normally do. Ask Father, what do you want me to do? Are you with me? This is life changing. This is life changing. Many people are in a place of disappointment and frustration, not because they didn't hear what God said, but they didn't see how it looked to God. They self-interpreted what God had said, and He might have wanted them to pray, but they went, and they're frustrated because it didn't work out, and I didn't hear from God. And God goes, yeah, you did hear from me, but you didn't ask me what you wanted me to do. Some people just stay and pray, and He goes, I want you to go. We've got to hear what God is asking us to do. I see the next 7 years marked by the words kingdom participation. Am I joining what God is doing, or am I asking God to join what I'm doing? And I'm drawn to the personal and the corporate. Brother, could you come and join me? I'm drawn to the personal and I'm drawn to the corporate, because both are essential. I'm finishing with these two verses. I need you to hear this. I need you to hear this. I need you to hear this. Your significance is in your connection to the body of Christ. You know, you're like, no. My significance is just my significance. No, it's not. That's called worldly thinking. My finger is significant. I can point at you right now. Take that off my body, it ain't really that significant. Do you get it? Yeah. My foot's significant, I'm walking around this place like a headless chook. But I tell you right now, you take my foot off this body, the significance, I'll notice the loss of it, but I won't have the full function of the body. The body is only often as strong as its weakest. Have you ever stubbed your toe? Have you ever been like me and cried like a silky little baby? You stub your toe. My gosh, it's just a toe. My whole body aches. How is that possible? Because we are fitly joined together. Are you with me? And God is saying it's the personal and it's the corporate. Both are essential. Say both are essential. Last two verses, Matthew 6:6. But when you pray, go into your room. Go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Not everything you and God do, you need to tell everyone else about. If you have the most beautiful intimate times with the Lord and time in the Word, you don't need to post it on Instagram. Because if you do, you don't get a reward in heaven. Can I call it as it is? The secret place is called the secret place because it's meant to be the secret place. Let's do the personal. Let's do the personal. In Ephesians 4:16, from Him, Christ, the whole body, everyone say the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. My body's healthy when my finger works as a finger should. My foot's healthy as my foot works as if it should. My heart is healthy. My body is healthy when my heart works as my heart should work. You get the natural picture? So it is in the body of Christ. There's some things that Father looks at you and says, I need you to do this. But there's some things that God looks at us and said, this is what we're talking about, project, and we're projecting to 2032. I've come that you might have life, and I want you to have it to the fullness. There is a thief who's going to try and steal, kill, and destroy. Listen to me. I'm finishing right now. There's a thief. Even today, walking out these doors, there's a thief that will come and try to steal, kill, and destroy. Fear, doubt is not a big deal. That's making it bigger than it is. Maybe I'm not really that person. I don't do that. I do this. Come on. If we've got the I, we're probably listening to an enemy. Because when it's God can, God will, God wants to. God wants to save. God wants to heal. God wants to set free. God wants to sweep this earth with the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. It is time. Today is a day of salvation for everyone who believes Jesus is coming back for a spotless bride, a perfect, blameless church, and I want to be a part of that. Yes, God, I say yes. I say yes to 2032. I say yes to 2032. And I saw a picture of people putting up their hands and enlisting in advancing God's kingdom purpose. So as I finish up, if God has stirred your heart and you say, I want to be part of Project 2032, would you stand to your feet? And this is you as a church. This is you as an individual. You might go to another church. It's for you. Here's the simple thing. Do you want to get to 2032 and be walking in life and life to the full? That's it. But I don't know how it's going to work. No. Don't work it out. We walk it out.